Open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. It's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. How many of you are thankful that you had a godly mother? These young people didn't raise their hands at all. Nobody on this front row raised their hands. I think you guys are in trouble. A 4-year-old and a 6-year-old presented their mom with a house plant. They had used their own money to buy it, and she was thrilled. The older of them said with a sad face, "There was a bouquet at the flower shop that we wanted to give you. It was real pretty, but it was too expensive. It had a ribbon on it that said, 'Rest in peace.' And we thought it would be just perfect, since you are always asking for a little peace so that you can rest." That is awesome. How many of you moms could use a little bit of rest? Yes, yes. Here's 10 things a mom doesn't want to hear. "I swallowed a goldfish." "Your lipstick works better than crayons." "Does grape juice leave a stain?" This one's my favorite because I can relate to this. The principal called. So one time I had to bring a note home from school. I'd done something wrong or whatever it was. And I thought that I would just be fancy. And I tore it up and hid it in an old tire in the garage. It wasn't an old tire. My dad was getting ready to put it on the car that day. So that day he found that note and I got the Board of Education applied to the seat of learning. This one's fun. "But Dad says that word all the time. What's it cost to fix a window? Has anyone seen my snake? I painted your shoes pretty, huh, Mommy? The dog doesn't like dressing up in your clothes." And then this one, "I'm moving out." Now, some moms are really ready for that. I think that that's true. Isn't it amazing that when your babies are born, they don't really give you an instruction manual? But God did. So my message today is God's instruction manual for moms, or mom's instruction manual. All right, so let's just start looking at this. Look with me at 2 Peter chapter 1 and look at verse 1. This will be a very familiar passage for a lot of us. So Simon Peter, verse 1, "a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ." So look up here at me for a second. Here in this first verse, we see something. There is a like precious faith. There's in the book of Jude, it talks about the faith once delivered to the saints. The Bible talks about our common salvation. What does that mean? There's only one way. There's only one way to heaven. And there's only one way to God. And that's through Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You cannot bring your own righteousness to God. You can't do it. So let's say you want a new car. And so Jacob and I, years ago, we would enjoy just going to car dealers and just looking at cars. And so we went to the Mercedes dealer. And, I told the guy, "We can't afford anything here. We're just here to have fun." And he said, "Here's something fun." And he had the brand new S-Type Mercedes parked right out front in the front of the lot. He had the key in his hand, so he started it up and let us get in it. I think it was $150,000 or something for that car. I didn't know a car could be that nice. The things that were in that, I didn't know they were things. Now, imagine if I said, "Okay, I'll take it." Okay, that'll be $150,000, and I scoop up some mud and hand it to him. How well is that going to work out? Well, how many of you think that eternal salvation and the righteousness of God is worth more than a Mercedes? And why do we think that we have anything more to offer God than that mud? I want you to think about it. What does God need? He has need of nothing. He never has needed anything. He is, one of his attributes is that he is self-sufficient. He needs nothing. Anything that God desires is. Anything that God wants to have happen, happens. And one of the things that he wanted to happen was for you to have free will to accept him or reject him. Because he didn't create you to be a slave. He created you to be a son. He created you to be a worshiper of him. And we come to him through faith, realizing that my righteousness, the Bible says, is like filthy rags. It's not worth anything. And that's why, look again at verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He gives us his righteousness. So I want to give you four aspects, four chapters in Mom's instruction manual from this passage. The first one is her resource. Her resource. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So her resource. Moms, have you ever felt like you're at the end? You don't have any more strength. You've done all that you can do, and your day still isn't done. There's still something that needs to be done. You've worked hard all day. You've finally gotten all the kids fed. You got your husband fed. You've got the house picked up, and your son comes and says, Mom, I have a book report due tomorrow. Can you help me? Has that ever happened? Oh, yeah. And so you moms, I know that you can get to where you feel like you don't have the tools necessary to do the job. Have you ever had a flat tire, but you don't have your lug wrench? That's the way that moms feel often. They have a responsibility to love and raise, nurture their children. They have an innate longing and desire to do that. And yet sometimes you feel like you just don't have the tools to accomplish it. Well, God is telling us in this passage that he has given you those tools. Look at the first one he's given you, grace. Verse 2, he gives you grace and peace. And what does he do? He takes that grace and he multiplies it. What is grace? Grace is the gift. Grace is God giving us what we need. For salvation, he's given us the grace to be saved. For giving, he's given us the money to give to someone else. Paul, when they took the offering for the poor people in Jerusalem, he was sending it with Titus. And what he said, he's sending the offering, but he called it the grace. I'm sending the grace with you. So God gives you grace for salvation, but he also gives you grace for every responsibility that he has given you. Let me just say it this way. God never asks you to do anything that he doesn't give you the ability to do. Now, you might not have that ability on your own, but he does give you the ability through his word and through his Holy Spirit to do whatever he has asked you to do. But I will say this, there are many things that sometimes moms are asked to do that God never asked them to do. Ladies, you don't have to be at the ball field 6 days a week. Can I get a good amen on that? Now, if you want to, and you have the energy to do that, and you have the home life all organized and you can do that, well, praise God. Have fun at the ball field. But if you're ready to pull your hair out, right? If you're a mom and you look like Brent New, maybe you're not supposed to be on the ball field. And that's a very big woman. Have you ever seen somebody like that? But look at what he gives. Verse 2 again, grace and peace. There are very few universals. You know, everybody's different, but there are things that are pretty much normal. Most men are stronger than most women. But every once in a while, you see somebody from the East German swim team, right? You got some woman that you do not want to mess with. Or, hi, what's your name? Max. those are the outliers. There are some women, and your nature is peaceful. Never get worked up. Never have any anxiety. Everything's just great all the time. How many of you men would love to meet one of those ladies? Seriously, ladies, here's what God promises you. This is Peter's prayer. And the Holy Spirit gave Peter this prayer and had it written down. And then the Holy Spirit preserved it for us so that we can have it today. So Peter's prayer for you is that your peace would be multiplied. That your peace would be multiplied. Now here's the problem. Some of you think you don't have any peace. So what happens when you multiply something by zero? What do you get? Zero. If you're saved, God has given you His peace. You might not have your own. But if you're born again, you have His. Maybe, by faith, it would really help you to access that peace. The peace that passes all understanding. That peace that only comes from the Father. These are your tools. These are your resources. Grace and peace be multiplied. But how? Let's keep reading. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. You're not going to get grace and peace by reading parenting books. Now, I'm not against you reading parenting books. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. My dad used to quote this, so this is a dated thing. There was a guy named Dr. Spock, not this Spock, right? There was a Dr. Spock. How many of you remember, know exactly what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. See, there's a certain generation. Ed, I didn't know you were that old. Okay, there was a generation that we heard, and what was this? You don't want to hurt your child's self-esteem by spanking them. How has that worked out for society? How many of you teachers wish that you could go back to the day when you could pull the student into the principal's office and beat them like a rented mule? I know there's some merciful people here that think, oh, you shouldn't beat a child. Have you met one? Do I have to qualify it? Don't abuse a child. Spanking is not abuse. Amen? And yet, that peace, that grace comes through knowledge of God and through knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that does not come through parenting books. One of the things that I've through my years of, being a pastor now here for 27 years, having been around this all my life, with my father being a pastor, raised in this. When you read someone's book on parenting, well, that particular book might be great if you are similar in temperament to that author. Does that make sense? How many of you know exactly what I'm talking about on that? Or if your children are similar to their children. So we have Lydia and Jacob. They're completely different. They're completely different. And so I'd have to have a set of books for Jacob and a set of books for Lydia. I mean, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Folks, that's not where your grace and peace comes from. Your knowledge of how to have that grace and peace and how to bring that into your home has to come from your relationship with Jesus Christ. It has to come from your knowledge of who God is, who Jesus Christ is, but look at specifically what it says about them. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, so your tools are grace, peace, And both of those multiplied through knowledge. But look at her, those are her tools. Look at her abundance, verse 3. Okay, stop. I needed to make this point before we go to this verse. We've already said that moms, many times you feel like you don't have what you need to make it through that day. What I want you to see from this text, that not only do you have enough, you have more than enough. So let's look at the text. According as his, what's that next word? Divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Okay, so moms, please answer this. Is parenting a part of life? If you're a mom, is parenting a part of life? Then has God, through his divine power, given you all things that pertain to that? That was much weaker than the first yes. How many of you believe the Bible's true? Well, it just said he's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. So, maybe if you don't have what it takes to be the mother that you're trying to be, maybe that's because you have a model from social media or whatever that's not a godly mother. How many of you think there's a difference? Now, I'm sure that there are some social media influencers that are true, and they're godly ladies who are trying to help you, but I promise you this, some people are listening way too much to influencers because they don't show you their bad days. So, look at her abundance. Verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him, look at what it says, that hath called us to glory and virtue. So we're called. If you're saved, that's who he's written to, those who have this common salvation, then you're called to glory and virtue. All right, so glory, how do we glory? I can't glory. Paul said it very clearly. I'm not going to glory in anything but the cross of Christ. The glory that I have is the light of the gospel that God has put in me. That's the only glory that I have. And if that's what I'm living for, then the next word is virtue. So let's look at her abundance. It's divine power, all things, life, and godliness. All right, we're going to come back to the glory and virtue in a second. So her tools are grace and peace multiplied through knowledge. Her abundance is because of divine power for all things pertaining to life and godliness, but her assurance. So again, ladies, I think that one, and again, I think it's social media, it's our culture, it's the magazines, it's the airbrushed, you know, so you're a 35-year-old mom, and all the images that are shown you are 17-year-old anorexics who desperately need a cheeseburger. Not only are they 17-year-old anorexics, they're 17-year-old airbrushed anorexics. Is that a word? Anorexic? Karen Carpenter diet plan, you know. It's very important that we recognize how our culture causes us to lack confidence. If you're a man, you lack the confidence to lead your home because the culture always makes every commercial the kid's smarter than the dad. I would love to see a commercial where the man's actually driving the car. Or a commercial where the man's driving the car and he's not lost and his wife like this in his ear. Amen? The world, this culture, causes us to lack confidence in the role that God has given us. And so look at the assurance that God gives us. Look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers. Look at what it says. Of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. These are great promises. They're precious promises, but they're supernatural promises. Men, how many of you have ever made a promise to your wife? I promise I'll stop leaving my underwear on the floor. Because it's driving her crazy. And then the underwear's on the floor again. How many of you men have ever made a promise to your wife that you didn't keep? Would you raise your hands? Well, you guys, some of you guys are just liars. Jeff Blackford went like this. God will never lie to you. The promises he makes to you will always be true. Always. That's our assurance. That's our confidence. This assurance are great promises, precious promises, supernatural promises. But here's my favorite part. Look at what it says, verse 4 again. Middle of the verse. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means that as a godly mom, you are a partaker of the supernatural. That means you have access to supernatural strength, supernatural power, supernatural ability, supernatural grace, supernatural peace. It's there. You just need to partake of it. When Lydia was a baby, and she still hates bananas, but I liked the banana baby food. You know what I mean? And we would try and feed it to her, and she would turn her head away. She wouldn't. So you could get it in there, but it was coming back out. That's not how God makes us partakers of that divine nature. It's there. He's given it to us. He's given us access to it. How? Because the Holy Spirit of God. How many believe in the Holy Spirit of God? Is the Holy Spirit supernatural? Does the Holy Spirit dwell in every believer? All right, so it's there. That power is there, but it's our responsibility to access that, to be a partaker of that divine nature. Look at this assurance part now. Look at what it says in middle of verse 4 again. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Look at what it says. Having, not going to, but having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. If you are born again, God has given you a new nature that is already perfect. Isn't that wonderful? He has given you the power and the ability to do what he wants you to do. And if you are being a godly mother, fulfilling the responsibilities of a godly mother, God will give you the response, the ability, the power, the tools, the resources to accomplish that. Why? Because all of that stuff that's still in you, your flesh, that would stop you from being a good mom, the Bible says he's already killed that. How about that? He has put to death the deeds of the flesh, the Bible says. So then what are we supposed to do? We agree with God and mortify, put to death those deeds of the flesh every day, all day. You know, we see moms that are so concerned with their fitness, their physical fitness, that they neglect their children. Amen? We see moms that are so concerned with their children that they neglect their husbands. We see moms that are so concerned with what other people think about their children or their fitness, they neglect everything that has anything to do with life and godliness. So here's what God wants you to do. God wants you to mortify all of those things and simply love your husband, love your children, keep your home, worship God. Be a good steward of the things God has given you. Those are the things that God wants you to do. Amen? Has God given you the ability to do that? Absolutely. Absolutely. Having escaped. So they're great promises. They're precious promises. They're supernatural promises. But they are also accomplished promises. So now, that's what he's given you. Those are your resources. Those are your tools that he's given you. So now, what are you supposed to do? When I became an assistant pastor for Dave McCracken, I got there and nobody told me what my job was. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. How do you know if you're accomplishing your job if you don't know what the job is? Right? So next time Brother Dave's here, just really get on to him. Say, you are a lousy boss. This is really important. How do you know when your kids are ready? How do you know? I've seen many parents say, what are your kids going to do? Well, I hope they do right. Are your kids going to serve? Well, I hope so. God has given us the responsibilities that we are to instill in our children. They are Christian disciplines. So this is really fun. Let's look at it. Look at her responsibilities. What are you supposed to teach your child? With this instruction manual, well, they're given in order. Verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge. Okay, so beside this, I got to read something to you. It's really funny. You know, we don't do a lot of Greek stuff here. You know, the New Testament is written in Greek. The reason we don't talk about a lot about the Greek is because it's already been translated. Right? This will show you why we don't. Here's from my commentary. I read this morning. This is awesome. The phrase beside this comes from a Greek word that only occurs here. It conveys the idea of bringing something to be placed by the side of something else. How many of you that really helped you? How many of you know that when you have something and something else is beside it, that you have placed it beside it? How many of you follow that? Aren't you thankful that we have these commentators that can really... Okay, so that's just a little inside baseball for you. But it really is a good thought. We come to Christ by faith. So ladies, your first responsibility is to the Lord. Your second responsibility is to your husband. Your third responsibility is to your children. And the best thing that parents can do for children is make sure they know their place in the home. Men, your wife needs to be more important to you than your children. They need to know. Somebody breaks into the house, I'm taking care of your mom first. Vital that we get this, because what will happen is your children will grow up that way and they will respect their spouse and they'll be that problem. And it gives them security. Men, your children want you to love their mom more than anything else. Ladies, your children need you to respect their dad more than anything else. It's vital. It's vital that we get this. Then beyond that, the first thing that parents, godly parents, remember he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, is parenting a part of life? So then should we be godly parents? So this concept of being a godly parent, the first thing that you must instill in your children is faith. Well, you can't make your child believe God. You can make them believe you. Here's how you teach them to lack faith. Okay, I want you to go into your room. I want you to clean your room. I'm going to come back in 30 minutes, and that room had better be clean. You come back in 30 minutes, and the room's not clean. So when you gave them the instruction, I want that room to be done in 30 minutes. If that room's not clean in 30 minutes, I'm going to brand you with an A on your face, okay? Whatever it is. So when you give them the responsibility and you give them the result, if they don't fulfill the responsibility, they have to get the result. What happens when they don't get the promised result? They don't believe you anymore. You don't do this, you're going to get a spanking. They don't get the spanking, they don't believe you. If you do this, you can't go to the school activity. If you don't do this, you can't play football this season. But here's the problem. Dad loves football more than he loves his kids. Won't follow through on it. So what happens? Child does not trust his parents. The Bible describes God as the Father. For a child who hears of God as the Father, who do they think of when they hear the Father? Who do they think of? Their dad. You are teaching, dads, you are teaching your children whether to believe the Father or not, whether to trust the Father or not. Mothers, you are teaching whether you believe the truth or not. So you begin with faith. The other thing that you must do is constantly expose your children to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that faith is believing in the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. That's what verse 1 says. That faith that we're adding to begins with the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. That's what it says in verse 1. So you are constantly teaching your children about the gospel. Make sure that you have them here in Sunday school. Thank you, Sunday school teachers, for constantly affirming the gospel to these children. You Awana leaders, constantly affirming the gospel to the children. But that also has to be affirmed at home, right? So they're starting with faith. But what the Bible tells us here in these next few verses, is that faith must behave. Did your parents ever tell you that? Just behave. What does that mean? Behave in the way that you know you are to behave, right? So now we're being taught what that behavior is. So look at what it says. Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. What is virtue? Virtue is doing what you know you're supposed to do and not doing what you know you're not supposed to do. That's where it starts. How do you instill that in your child? Well, when the child goes to touch the VCR, just go with it. When the child goes to touch the VCR and you say no, man, there are parenting books. Well, to help your child, take everything you don't want them to touch and put it where they can't get it. Oh, that's a great way to train your child. You don't train a dog that way. Is Caesar, is that his name? Dog Whisperer? You could learn a lot about parents from watching Caesar. One of the funniest things, he made a chicken smoothie. That's what he said, a chicken smoothie. When the little toddler, they walk over and they start to touch the stereo or whatever it is you don't want them to touch. No, no. Just look at you. Am I right? Then you go over and you spank their little hand or whatever it is that you do. And what do? Now here's the problem. Somebody's going to win. It's either going to be you or the little devil that you're trying to raise. We're talking about virtue. Add to your faith virtue. You have to do this. You can't do that. That's virtue. There are many things the Bible gives us on that. But your two-year-old doesn't understand the biblical things yet. They do know that you're telling them what to do and not to do. And it's your responsibility to do that. Now, here's the problem. Many of you were not raised right. You did not have this modeled for you. You might not have had good parents, but you can be good parents. Amen? And listen, there are a lot of really sweet people that were terrible parents. Why? Well, we just kind of let the kids raise themselves. They have to make decisions sometimes. Then you find out they're punching some old person on the sidewalk. It's really important that we get this. You add to your faith virtue. So notice the order. It starts with faith. They have to trust you or not. That leads to the virtue. Then look at what it says. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. That all diligence, you work at it, right? Add to your faith, virtue, and virtue knowledge. Everybody cares about their kids' schooling. Man, I'm just telling you, there are many parents the whole world could go to hell, but my kid's got to finish first grade. We've got this really backwards. And most of the time at school, they're not really learning much yet anyway. My kids were in school for 8 hours. They'd come home with 3 hours of homework. Then we decided to homeschool, and the whole day was 3 hours. What were they doing for the rest of the time? Maybe being indoctrinated? Socialized? Listen, They have to know virtue before they can actually learn. Our school teachers that are here, I'm very thankful that you're in that demonic, evil place called the public school. And I'm just telling you, that's a pit of vipers, and it's a place of demonic influence that hates God and hates everything that you're doing. Understand, that's what the public school system is. Not in my town. Well, go in there and look at the library. Go in there and find out what they're telling the teachers that they can say and can't say. Talk to our teachers here. I'm glad our teachers are in that place being the light that they can be. Amen? But just understand what your kids are getting there. That's not the knowledge of the holy. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. How many of your kids have teachers that scorn the Word of God? You know, the only people that believe in Darwinian evolution are high school science teachers. No one else in the scientific community believes that anymore, but it's still taught in the schools. Understand that it starts with virtue and then knowledge, but it needs to be the knowledge of the holy. This is your instruction manual. So, look at what it says. And beside this, verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge. But to knowledge, temperance. What is temperance? I heard Paul talking about it in the Sunday school hour. It's strength. But it's strength through hardship. When something is tempered, it's heated up. And then it's put in the water. You have to go through hardship. One of the problems is, and we talked about this recently, parents, especially mothers, are infantilizing their children. They're trying it's their responsibility to do everything for them until they're 6 months old. But moms are doing that until they're in first, second, third, and fourth grade. And these children are incapable. What's your phone number? I don't know. What's your mother's name, Mommy? Teachers, am I exaggerating it? It's very important that we get this. They need some hardness in their lives. And honestly, that's what dad's for. And moms, let dad be tough on them. It's okay. It's okay. Then, look at what it says. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. Oh my. I want to open my present now. How about I take the present back? Amen. I want it now. Man, we were in Vail on vacation, Vail, Colorado. Kids were little. And there was an ice cream shop. It was really hot out that day. And the dad had bought his son an ice cream cone. Son's 5 or 6, whatever. And it was starting to drip down, so he licked it off. The son started screaming, "You ruined it! I hate you!" Screaming. And my kids are like this. I said, "What would happen to you if you did that?" It was either Jacob or Lydia. One of them said, "We'd never get ice cream again." Well, isn't that the truth? I guarantee it. We have to teach our children patience. You can't have that right now. You're not ready for that. "I think my child's old enough to date." She's 11. Oh, they're going to the junior high dance. She needs her little prostitute dress so she can fit in with the rest of the kids. At some point, dad's got to say no. Moms, would you allow your little girl to be a little girl, not a little hooker? Have you been to Target? And the sermon started so nice. Patience. Patience. There will be a time for your young daughter to express her femininity. But it's within the bounds of a godly relationship. Amen? There are times for your young men to act out. And that's a difficult time. When a boy gets to be 13, 14, 15 years old, that relationship with mom starts to be difficult because she's still in charge, but he's feeling his manliness. And that's a tough thing that dad needs to help them to navigate. But boys, you mouth off to your mom, you might meet your dad. I remember my brother. My dad said, nobody talks to my wife that way. And punched him in the face. Here's what I do to somebody that talks to my wife that way. Best thing that ever happened to my brother and the best day of my life, I gotta say. If you're a guest here, you're saying, this is the most violent church I've ever been to. Oh. So look at it. Verse 6, into knowledge, temperance, and temperance, patience, and patience, godliness. It's interesting that godliness, you have to have faith, you have to know right from wrong, you have to have temperance, some hardship, you have to know that you're gonna have to wait on some stuff. You have to know who God is, some knowledge. Then you can start to become godly. Your kids can't be godly if you don't do these other steps ahead of time. Mom, this is your instruction manual. Look at what it says in verse 7. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Man, are kids mean to each other? Why? Because they've not been taught these other things. Some of the hazing that goes on. Now listen, if you're with me and my friends, like Dalton, I heard him say to one of our buddies one time, hey, how long does the doctor say you got to wear those shoes? It was hilarious. Guys, if you can't handle one of your buddies busting your chops or whatever, you need to toughen up. You need to go to man camp. Amen, guys? Come on. If you can't take it, I can't hang out with you. I just can't do it. I can't believe you don't like my shoes. My wife said they're pretty. So there's teasing and there's that sharpening that young people go through, and it helps them to grow. Amen? But I'm talking about how mean kids are, and especially girls, to each other. Your children need to learn brotherly kindness. And one of the difficult things is to teach your young lady how to stand up for one that's being bullied. Because when she stands up, she gets put outside of the club. Well, that's okay. That's where patience comes in. You'll have the right kinds of friends that will come along. You see, what are we doing? This is God's instruction manual for our mothers. So, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. So that's her responsibilities. But why do you need to do this for your kids? Why do you need to do this? The Bible gives us a reason. How many of you want your children to serve the Lord? But let me ask this. How many of you want your children to be successful? How many of you want them to live in a van down by the river? Okay, you want them to be successful. Well, they've got to be successful spiritually in order to be successful in the world in a godly way. And you can have both. But what happens? Here's the reason why we have to do these. Verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a reason. How many of you want blind children? How many of you want spiritually blind children? You see, there's a lot of times by the time they get this age, they don't really know right from wrong. They don't know who God is. Why? Because of the way they've been raised. It's our responsibility to make sure that they can see. And look at what it says. It's so important. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Look what it says in verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. How many of you know that young people are short-sighted? I'm going to drive 120 miles an hour because it's cool right now. They don't see the wheelchair down the road. They don't see the casket down the road. Am I right? Right? They don't see the maternity ward down the road. They don't see the way that the pornography is destroying the marriage down the road. They can't see afar off. That's why it's your responsibility to teach them these godly disciplines so that they are able. Why do we need to do this? We don't want blind children, and we don't want forgetful children. There's probably some moms in this room, and your children won't even reach out to you today. You want them to honor you. You want them to love you. We have to influence our children so that they're not forgetful. But more important than them forgetting you, let's pray for them. Apparently there's an issue with the fire department, so let's pray for them. It's very important that we understand what's going on. Amen? so that our children are not forgetful. But then, look at what it says. Verse 4, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Boy, do you want barren children or fruitful children? So I fly this evening to go to England. I'm going to spend about 2 weeks working. And then Laura's coming over next week, and we get to go see the grandbabies. And Lydia and Josh. Any grandparent can tell you. This is more important, right, Stacy? It's just absolutely true. Any grandparent can tell you that's more important. It's awesome. Now, let's pray that God gives our children children. Amen? If that's God's plan. It's not always God's plan. But this is spiritually. I want spiritually fruitful children. I want my children to raise godly children. Can you imagine going to heaven and your grandchildren are not there? See, when they're going to touch the VCR or whatever, you're starting that process. How many of you believe that? You're really starting that process because that's where their faith begins. The reason, blind children, forgetful children, barren children. Look at what it says in verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten who is purged of his old sins. We have children that come to Christ as young children. And I believe that a child can trust Christ. Amen? Can you imagine that you allow them to live such a life that they forget they were ever even saved? That's what the text says. That's a dangerous place to be, folks. That is a dangerous place to be. So, her resource, her responsibilities, her reason. But then, look at this. This is so fun. Look at the result. Verse 10, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, if you do these things, you shall never fall. Well, does that mean if you don't do them, you'll lose your salvation? No. You'll forget that you were saved. You'll lack the confidence that you're born again, that you're a child of God. And so these Christian disciplines, when they become part of your life, then you are able to live a happy and fulfilled and successful and fruitful Christian life. Then look at what it says. Verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. So what did Peter say? I'm going to keep saying it. I know you've heard this before. I'm going to keep saying it. I know many of you have heard this passage before. I'm going to keep saying it. I'm not going to be negligent. I'm going to say it again and again and again and again, because this is what we have to do. It's a very simple formula. This is Mom's instruction manual and the instruction manual for every godly Christian. Look at what it says in verse 13. Yea, I think it meet, acceptable, fitting, as long as I am in this tabernacle, in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Wow. Verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. What's going to happen when I'm gone? What are my children going to know? When I'm gone, will my children know what I believed? When I'm gone, will my children have like faith? That faith from 2 Peter 1:1, is that the faith my children will have after my decease? Man, it's a sad thing. Some preachers are great. You know, I've done 3,742 funerals. I've preached 737,000 sermons. I have no idea what I've done. I've done a lot of funerals. And I've seen a lot of funerals for Christian people. And the crowd is full of pagans. I mean, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, I actually love those funerals because I get to give a lot of people the gospel. But I sure hope that at my funeral, my kids and my grandchildren and the extended family are all people of like faith. Fruitful. They're not blind. They can see afar off. That's the influence I want my life to have. Mom, how about you? This is Mom's instruction manual. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the godly mothers we have in this room. Lord, we have moms that are about to be moms. They're feeling the weight of this responsibility. Lord, thank you that you have given our moms the resources necessary to be godly mothers.